Hey, it's Danielle. Would you like a $50 Amazon gift card? Here is how you enter a chance to win. Right now, Failing Motherhood is turning 4 years old, and it's almost Mother's Day, so we're doing an annual drive for ratings and reviews, which are huge for search rankings, for potential listeners to find us, and for them to size up the quality of the podcast. So if you have been enjoying Failing Motherhood, whether this is your first few times listening or you've been here the whole time, I'm offering extra incentive to put in a quick 2 to 3 sentence review inside Apple. When you leave yours, screenshot it and then send it to me over Instagram DM or email. And I am going to give one listener that leaves a review a $50 Amazon gift card on Mother's Day. We have some really exciting Failing Fatherhood episodes coming up. So please follow the podcast if you haven't yet and leave that rating or review so that more moms and more parents know they are not alone if they feel like they're failing their child on a daily basis. We need each other, and I'm so grateful you are here.
I just remember anyone would ask me, like, how are you? And I would just burst out crying. Like, I literally couldn't, like, even handle the how are you question because I was always right there at the surface of a breakdown.
Ever feel like you suck at this job? Motherhood, I mean. Have too much anxiety and not enough patience? Too much yelling, not enough play? There's no manual, no village, no guarantees. The stakes are high. We want so badly to get it right. But this is survival mode. We're just trying to make it to bedtime. So if you're full of mom guilt, your temper scares you, you feel like you're screwing everything up, and you're afraid to admit any of those things out loud, this podcast is for you. This is Failing Motherhood. I'm Danielle Bettman, and each week we'll chat with a mom ready to be real, sharing her insecurities, her fears, her failures, and her wins. We do not have it all figured out. That's not the goal. The goal is to remind you, you are the mom your kids need. They need what you have, you are good enough, and you're not alone. I hope you pop in earbuds, somehow sneak away, and get ready to hear some hope from the trenches. You belong here, friend. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to Failing Motherhood. My name is Danielle Bettman, and on today's episode, I'm joined by Kiara Butcher. Kiara is a mama to 3 daughters and 5 angel babies, a wife to her husband Blake, and a blogger and artist on Instagram. She's passionate about helping other mamas like her feel validated and know that they aren't alone in their struggles. Welcome, Kiara.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to hear more of your story, and I'm so thankful that you're willing to share with us today.
Yeah, thanks. I'm so excited.
So the big question of the day is, have you ever felt like you were failing?
Only every day. Yes, definitely.
Solidarity. That's why we're here. So did becoming a mom come easy for you?
Definitely not. I definitely thought I was just going to, you know, get married and have babies and it was all going to just be smooth sailing, but I actually miscarried my first 3 pregnancies and definitely an unexpected challenge. And then we did eventually have our rainbow baby, our first one, and then a miscarriage, and then another rainbow baby, and then another miscarriage, and then our last rainbow baby. So it was definitely a journey that I did not expect to go on.
Wow, that's heartbreaking to have one, let alone multiple, before you had your rainbow. What was that like?
It was so, so isolating and heartbreaking time of my life. I just remember anyone would ask me, like, how are you? And I would just burst out crying. Like, I literally couldn't, like, even handle the how are you question because I was always right there at the surface of a breakdown. Because I was so sad during this time. And I was in a very unique position where I got married pretty young and all of my friends were not yet in that phase of life. And so I didn't have really anybody to turn to that knew what I was going through. And so it was just a really lonely time on top of going through the grief. So definitely a very hard time in my life.
So you didn't know anyone else personally that shared a similar story?
Right. And I would even like go on Instagram and look like hashtag miscarriage just to like find anyone else that like I could that possibly could know what I was going through. Because, you know, I think connecting with other moms who've been through it just like helps you feel less crazy, like, you know.
Yeah. And did you find any resources?
There wasn't as much on there. This was, you know, when Instagram was a little bit newer. And so I remember there was a couple stories that I was able to read. But yeah, mostly, honestly, just a really isolating, lonely time. And it was everywhere I went, you know, there's babies, like even at like Walmart, like there would be a pregnant lady or like a baby in the stroller or something. And I would just like cry. Like I just wanted that so bad. And I just didn't know if I would ever be able to have it during that time. So, and all I ever wanted to be was a mom, like since kindergarten, like on my About Me, like all I want to be when I grow up is a mom. So it was like the ultimate heartbreak for me.
So how much time happened between like the moment that you wanted to be a mom and were ready until you had your first rainbow?
So the first pregnancy was a total surprise. I was actually on birth control. I got pregnant on birth control. Didn't obviously think I would be getting pregnant. We were planning on waiting for a year, but we'd actually only been married for 4 months at that time. And I ended up miscarrying at 8 weeks. And then a couple months later, I got pregnant again. And so all my first three losses were all within 6 months. And then I got pregnant with our rainbow daughter shortly after that. So luckily, it wasn't too long of waiting, but it felt like an eternity when I was going through it.
And that's a lot for a new marriage to handle, too.
Oh, yeah. That was it was hard, especially because, like, you know, after losing the baby, like my husband wasn't as attached to that because like it was a surprise and like he didn't, you know, it was so new. He didn't necessarily like mourn the way I did. He didn't understand why I was feeling the way I did. And I really didn't know how to explain it. You know, I was overcome with this grief. And I just, as soon as we lost that baby, I immediately knew that like I wanted to have a baby and that's what I needed in my life to feel whole again. And he didn't feel the same way. And so that was really hard to kind of, you know, get to that place where we both wanted it. And so, but definitely he doesn't have any regrets about having our daughter when we did. And he's obsessed with her. So,
yeah. That's really, I mean, marriage is, of course, very, very difficult. It's a lot of work. But that's such an added challenge of disconnect between what your experience and what you were going through and the support you needed versus his side of what he was understanding and going through.
Right.
On top of that, just like, you know, in such a lonely, isolated time of your life, now the one relationship that you have to count on too is strained.
Exactly. Yeah. And my mom as well had never been through loss, like miscarriage. She'd had, my brother died of SIDS when he was 7 months old. And so in my mom's mind, she was like, well, you didn't, like, that's not real loss. She was like, I lost my child when he was 7 months old and I held him and I did all these things and you were just pregnant for a few weeks. So my mom just didn't understand it either. And it would also make me almost feel bad. Like, I love her. And, you know, it was totally like in her mind, she was just trying to relate her experience to mine. But so that was just, it was just totally isolating during that time.
Oh, that's awful. So I'm sure that that feeling has become a huge motivator for some of your artwork, I assume.
Oh my gosh, yes. I honestly didn't realize how much trauma I went through. Until years later when I ended up having my daughter. I had losses in between each of my daughters. And it was like the motherhood of, you know, raising the children I did have was kind of distracting me from that. Mm-hmm. And then last year, one of my really good friends had a miscarriage, and it kind of brought up, I didn't realize I was still holding on to all of it. And I just totally brought it all up for me. And I was like, I really haven't dealt with this. I've just kind of shoved it down. And so I read that, you know, if you write your feelings down, that you process your emotions like 60% better. And so I, you know, kind of sat down to go through that, and I ended up just drawing. And that was kind of my way of expressing myself and healing from that trauma. And honestly, it worked like amazing. I felt so much, like healing and wholeness from illustrating what was on my heart.
And have you always been an artist?
No, I mean, I've always been an avid doodler. Like if you ever looked at my papers from high school, like all of the sides of my margins are always like doodles. All of my friends will tell you about my like doodling all the time. I'd write like little, you know, back then you wrote notes to each other and pass notes. Yes, and they were all like, right. all doodled up. My dad's an artist. So I did kind of grow up with that influence in my life. I was always very creative, and poetry and writing was my main outlet, but I ended up adding this and I found a real connection with it.
Yeah. So it's relatively new then?
Yeah, definitely. Very I started, cool. Just last year, like I said, after that experience going through that with my friend, that's kind of when I started getting into it more.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks. It was really good.
I know that whatever we go through, you know, we have a special gift to be able to help others go through it and share our experience and just help them not feel so alone. And so I'm sure that part of that healing process has been, you know, just the processing of it. But then I'm sure the other side of it is also hearing the stories of the people that you're now connecting with and being able to feel such a tangible way that you can kind of give back to moms going through the same thing.
Yes, definitely. I almost feel like I had to give my pain a purpose or like a meaning in my life for it to like make sense in my brain. And so for me, in like my in my heart, I think like if I went through all of that loss and grief and trauma so that I could help another mom through her experience, then it was worth it to me. You know, and so that kind of gives me closure in a way that I can connect with these other women and let them know that I know what it feels like to be totally alone during that time. And I know what it feels like to have the anxiety and all the things. And that just, that really gives me reason and purpose in my life to feel like I didn't go through all of it for nothing.
Yeah, there's so much hope in that.
Yeah.
So tell everybody what you make.
So I make illustrations mostly of families with their angel babies. So sometimes there's they're holding hands with Christ, who's holding angel babies. But also I sometimes will just draw them into their arms, you know, if they're not religious. Still a beautiful way of kind of visualizing your babies with you, making families whole. You know, when you've lost a child, you'll never really have a full, complete family picture. And so I think almost having that drawn in, it's just so like complete to see your family as a whole.
And they're gorgeous.
Oh, thanks. They're really, really fun and meaningful. So I find so much joy making them.
And do you have families submit photographs that you then use to inspire that work, or how does it work?
Yeah, so everyone who wants a portrait, they upload the photo or photos. I can combine multiple photos, and I will actually just trace the photo and then I illustrate it, and I can change colors and hair and stuff like that and make adjustments. Sometimes people, you know, want multiple, like a pet added or, you know, whatever. And so we kind of go through that process of stitching everything together. And then put it all together and add in Christ or add in angel babies or both. And yeah.
It's so cool that it's so customized and unique and just one of a kind.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. It's so personal. When people see it, you can't not have an emotional reaction to it because it's just so like joyful in a sense, even though it's, you know, you're seeing essentially like your past children. I think it is joyful to see like, oh, we're still a family, like we're still complete. So I think it helps. I mean, at least a lot of people message me and they just tell me about the healing experience they had from it. And so that's just like the biggest compliment for me is being able to give that to people.
Oh, so beautiful. So do you have a painting of your family that you've created?
I do. I have a couple. I'm a little spoil myself a little bit. Every time we get new family photos, I'm like, okay, I'm going to illustrate it now and add them in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do. I love it. And I like to have that as part of our home. So.
And do you talk to your daughters about those losses?
My oldest one is 6, and so we just started talking to her a little bit about it. So now my daughter is just like the absolute sweetest, and so at night she always prays for her babies in heaven, her baby siblings in heaven, and so that definitely always makes me tear up. But she's just got the biggest heart, and she's almost excited to hear that, you know, she has little siblings on the other side.
So I was just sharing your page with one of my friends that had just shared a recent miscarriage story. And she immediately sent me a screenshot of one of your recent posts and was like, this one, I love it. Like she just connected with it so much. And she was wondering if you had any other tools or suggestions or advice for talking to your kids about it, because she has older ones and she hadn't shared the news yet and didn't really know how to have that conversation. And I didn't know where to point her.
For telling your kids about miscarriage.
Yeah.
For me, because, you know, we are a Christian family, I sat them down and I talked to them about, you know, heaven. And I told them the story of how before she was in my tummy, there were other babies in my tummy. I was very simple terms. Mm-hmm. And I just told her, you know, they live with Jesus now and they're always in our heart and we're always going to be here looking down on us. And so she really loved that idea. I mean, she was a little bit sad when I first told her that, you know, the babies died, and, you know, 'cause that's such a harsh word.
Yeah.
But she did, as we continue to talk about it, I think she kind of understood. Our grandpa recently, oh, not recently, I guess like 2 years ago passed. And so I was like, they're up there with Papa. And so that made her feel better because, you know, she was, you know, could imagine them with someone that she knew. But my brother, who passed when he was 7 months old, they've known about him their whole lives. And mostly just when we, on his death anniversary, I don't know if that's a word, but that's when we'll always talk about him. We spend the day kind of doing things. This year we took flowers to my mom and they knew what they were for. It's always been kind of part of our lives to talk about those who passed on. And so, I mean, that's what we did, but I know everyone else's journey would be so, you know, it's so personal to like the children and the experience that you have and how you want to share it. So I feel bad I'm not much of a, I don't know everything, but that's just what we did.
Yeah. It's just helpful to even know anyone else's experience with that. And sharing our stories is really the most valuable thing that we can do, because then you just take pieces of it that, you know, help and then find your path.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm sure that you had tons of anxiety with the pregnancies that you did have. And once you had the babies in your arms, I'm sure there was a lot of added pressure of like, you know, I wanted this for so long. They're healthy now. Like, what type of pressure did that put into your actual motherhood experience?
Yeah, totally. With my oldest, when I had her. I had wanted that and yearned for that for so strongly. You know, I literally held her for 6 months straight. Like, I did not put this child down. Like, she slept in my room. Like, she didn't even know what it was like to not be held, because I just wanted to eat up every second. I just didn't know if I would ever have it again. And so I was like, this might be all I have. And so for me, that came out in this like very intense, like, suffocation of love. I just was like, I don't want to put you down. But then I just felt so guilty whenever I wasn't with her. So like, I would need a break, because, you know, if you're a mom, you know, you need breaks, you need me time. Yes. I would go, like, my husband's like, go get a pedicure. And I would just sit there the whole time, like, crying, I'm a terrible mom for not being with her right now. And like, she was totally fine. But like, that was my idea. I thought in order to be like that perfect mom, I had to be with her every second of her waking life. That was really hard mental block that it honestly took me years to overcome, because I just didn't want to miss anything. You know, I wanted to be there. I would literally stare at her at night. You're just like, are you breathing? Like, don't, like, I was just didn't want to lose anything of her. Yeah. And especially the first week, I would cry every single night. Like, I can't believe she's one day older. Like, how dare she grow up? Like, I just wanted that baby forever. Like, I ate it up. And so it was really hard for me to balance that me and myself as a person on top of like everything else. And it was like so intense that like even like her husband was like, are you gonna do laundry maybe? But I was like, no, I'm like, have this child, like, I'm, everything is going to her, you know. And yeah, and so it definitely was a balance I had to learn over time.
Yeah, that sounds a bit unsustainable.
Yeah, it definitely was.
But, you know, we all struggle with that, because motherhood is such a giant shift in our identity and in our responsibilities and in our time. And, like, we all have to figure it out as we go, because we're winging it and we don't know what we're doing.
Right.
But to put that added pressure on yourself to, you know, have those fears of, like, something could happen to her and, you know, wanting to not miss a thing, like, that's definitely going to make you feel a little bit crazy if you can't enjoy your pedicure.
I know. Yeah, I definitely went through postpartum anxiety. And so it was kind of that added irrationality of just like the hormones. Like, it was so out of my control, but I didn't even know that. Like, I just was like, I don't know. I didn't even realize it, that was what it was, until I, you know, actually my next daughter was born, and I was like, oh, maybe like this isn't normal. But
yeah. So what did it look like with your second?
With my second, I basically couldn't sleep at night, because I would stare at her all night. And obviously, like, the not sleeping was not good for anything either. And I, you know, because my brother did pass in his sleep, it was extra anxiety for me of like having lived through that. And I was actually the second person to see him dead in his crib. And so having seen that at such a young age, I was 7, it was just, you know, that trauma of like, oh, this is a real thing. This can happen. I've seen it. And so I would, like, my heart would be racing all the time, you know, very classic anxiety symptoms of just like, just totally anxious. And then it was almost, I did have some of the depression too, where I just like didn't feel, I almost just didn't feel anything. I was so just anxious and kind of apathetic. And I hated myself for it. I didn't want to feel that way. But I definitely realized in that moment, like, okay, like, this isn't normal. And so that was kind of when I started realizing that, okay, maybe, you know, there's something more going on here. Because I've had anxiety my whole life, it was kind of like, this was just like an elevation of it. But it definitely almost, like, you know, anxiety can be normal, but like when it starts affecting your life in that way, and that's when it kind of needs more attention. So
yeah, so that's a scary place to be, when you feel like, okay, this is not normal, this is not okay. What did you do?
So I texted, I remember I texted my mom this one night. I had to leave my cousin's wedding early because I just had this really bad anxiety attack. And I texted my mom and I was just like, something's wrong with me. Please make me an appointment. Please make me get help because of my anxiety. I had too much anxiety to like make the appointment, make get myself in the car and go. Like that was overwhelming for that mental state I was in. And so I was like, please help me, you know, and I told my husband and I was like, I feel like I need help. I'd just not be able to handle this, not able to handle this on my own. And ultimately though, even during that time, it was just a communication that I had with my support system of like, this is what I need. This is how I'm feeling. And it kind of opened up the doors, but I actually didn't get professional help even during that time. Because some days were better than others. So I would think, oh, I'm doing better. And then it was like, just kidding, I'm not. But then I would do better. So I just kind of like seesawed back and forth and just kind of muddled my way through until it kind of, I don't know, I guess I learned to just live with it. And I also had that support system where my husband recognized like, okay, like, you know, she can't, she needs a break or like she needs to be able to go, have some quiet time or whatever. And so that kind of helped me cope with it better as we came up with that as a team, like my support system. But as for outside professional help at that time, I did not get it. Looking back, I wish I would have.
So you can throw that 2 cents out there to those moms. Yeah. Might need it.
Yeah.
If you're wondering, you probably do.
Yeah.
So tell us about Bad Mom O'Clock.
So Bad Mom O'Clock is what I call my nighttime. Like I put my kids in bed and I lay down, you know, and I just sit there and I think about all the bad, terrible like things that I did in the day, which weren't even that bad, but it was like, I didn't give them carrots with their lunch and they only had chicken nuggets and Cheetos or like, you know, oh, I shouldn't have lost my patience when they didn't want to pick up their toys or, you know, things that really are very normal and it was okay for me to feel those things. I would just beat myself up and I would, my husband and I would call it Bad Mom O'Clock because I'd be like, Blake, it's Bad Mom O'Clock. And he would come over and be like, you're such a great mom. Give me a pep talk, you know? And I would just be like, I'm terrible. I failed at everything. He's like, and I just promised like, I'm going to be better tomorrow. And so that was my nightly routine. He knew. I was like, hey, it's a Bad Mom O'Clock. And he knew it was time for him to come and give me a pep talk because I was feeling pretty down.
What a supportive hubby.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
So where do you feel like that was coming from? Because I know we all can ruminate on our decisions and feel like they are such high stakes when really it's carrots and they're going to be okay.
Right,
but motherhood just seems so high pressure because these kids are depending on us for everything and it's only us and that's all they got. And yeah, I mean, it feels like we're just screwing everything up. We're screwing them up. We're screwing up everything by how we react. And like, how did you ever combat those feelings?
I was in this place where I wanted to be a perfect mom. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, here's what I need to do. I need to never yell. I need to never want to break from them. I need to always give them everything they need, that perfect emotional support, that perfect, like everything. And then if I wasn't that perfect mom that day, I had failed. And that was kind of the lie I was telling myself. It was obviously unsustainable and it was really damaging for me. You know, Bad Mom O'Clock was hard to, it was hard to go through that and feel like such a failure because it was just so important to me. I wanted to be this perfect mom. And so honestly, it really came down to getting professional help for me. That was the answer because there was just too much irrationality in my thinking where like I needed more help to kind of get out of that, that mindset because I just was beating myself up constantly. It just never, you know, as a woman, it's easy to do that. I kind of feel like that's our nature a little bit. And so I just needed to help. And obviously my husband was really great at trying to build me up and stuff. And as the kids got older, it just got easier as well. They would kind of entertain each other more. And so all of that combined really helped me kind of change my mindset to thinking that, you know, I am good enough, even if I'm not perfect.
Yeah. What types of things did the professional help shed light on that made you kind of have that shift in thinking?
So I got diagnosed with postpartum depression, anxiety, OCD, panic attacks. And that kind of like a diagnosis, I think, helped me make it like real that like what I was feeling wasn't that it was like normal for that diagnosis and kind of that. But I did get on medication, and the medication just that helped me handle my life as a whole. And with the medication, I was able to reduce my anxiety levels and depression levels and kind of take that irrationality out of it. And when that happened for me, that's when I was able to believe what people were telling me and believe, you know, I am a good mom. I am doing the best I can. It's okay if I need a break. It's okay if I need something just for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was what really helped.
Good. I'm so glad that you saw those results, because that's, you know, a scary place to be of knowing that you need the help, seeking the help, and then wondering, is it really going to help?
Right.
All of that uncertainty. Well, that's encouraging, I'm sure, for a lot of moms to hear if they're debating whether or not their experience is warranting it, or if it's just all made up in their head.
Totally.
You know, there's so many things working against our ability to function on a good day.
Right. And I think that's another thing that I noticed is that a lot of women, like we hear about postpartum depression, like people, it's pretty much a household term. People understand what that is. But the postpartum OCD and postpartum anxiety, even postpartum psychosis, you don't really hear about as much. And so I think that some women are like, you know, I don't have these postpartum depression symptoms, and they don't realize that they're actually identifying with postpartum OCD or anxiety or, you know, one of the other ones. And so I think just kind of talking through that or even just like doing your own research and kind of realizing like, oh, something else might be going on can be just so powerful to have that in your toolbox to know like, oh, okay, this is normal for this and this might be what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. And so is there anything that you still struggle with, or – is everything just cupcakes and rainbows?
Oh, yeah, I struggle every day. I mean, like, I wish it was a magic pill that just made all problems and struggles go away. But no, it took about 6 months for me to get my medications to the right level. Even then, even today, I still lose patience with my kids. I still get frustrated. I have a special needs daughter, and that's a whole different challenge. And because of that, it's frustrating. Even just this last Saturday, I was laying in bed. It's my day to sleep in. I was so excited, but she was having a sensory overload meltdown. And I was just laying in bed thinking like, okay, I failed her. I haven't done everything that she needs. I need to do this and this and this. I need to help her handle this life better, you know? And so that definitely weighs on me, as well as, you know, just, I have an 18-month-old who I'm pretty sure came to this earth with the sole desire to destroy me. And so I just am trying to like get through the day with her. Like she challenges me in like so many ways. She was colic as a newborn, or, you know, she's colic for 6 months and she was born. I was severely ill her entire pregnancy. So it just was like whole challenge. The colic has just become like her personality now. And so I'm like, I just am trying to survive. Just last night, I was like, lost my patience with the kids. And I was like, why are you like this? And my husband came out and he's like, okay, my turn. Because sometimes I'm just not, you know, it's overwhelming. So
yes. And it is totally okay to own that and know when it's time to tap out and like try again the next day, 100%. Do you have added guilt admitting that? Like, you have a hard time with motherhood knowing that it was so hard for you to become a mom in the first place?
I think I do struggle with a little bit of guiltiness. And I think that anyone who's been through loss or infertility might relate to that of because I spend my days, my passion is, you know, providing this emotional support for moms going through loss. And every single day I'm connecting with women who all they want is to have a baby. And I've been there and I've felt those feelings. I feel so guilty thinking like I'm struggling with my own current motherhood. But at the same time, I think both feelings have validity to them. You know, it's okay to really want a baby and be sad when other people have babies, but it's okay to also have a children or a child and be struggling, you know? And yes. I think both feelings are valid. And, but I definitely do struggle with that guilt a little bit, especially just because of what I do. I feel bad. Like, oh, I don't feel like I can talk about that on that page necessarily because I just am so sensitive to their feelings. And so I was just telling my husband last night, sometimes I do feel like I can't be like totally transparent on that, on my Instagram, on that account, because I'm so sensitive to what those women are feeling and I felt it. And I know how it, you know, I don't want to make anyone feel sad or like I'm ungrateful for what I have, but motherhood is hard. It just is.
Yes. Yes. And I would never be able to empathize with that prior to becoming a first-time mom if I was, you know, struggling with infertility. Right. That struggle is so different than what it looks like to be a mom in your house right now, you know, with the ages that your kids are and the struggles that you're having. They're really just two different worlds. And so it is very hard for a mom on either side of that to, you know, to step into those shoes. But because you're able to tap into your past experience and feel those feelings and empathize with those moms, that provides so much value for them. But you probably still, do need an outlet to be able to be transparent about your now current struggle.
Right.
Because there are moms that have been in your shoes as well and know what it's like to have a kiddo with a sensory meltdown overload and know the guilt of feeling like you're not doing enough and not figuring them out enough and, you know, not preventing things enough. And there's just so many things to struggle with and have guilt over.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's always going to be that struggle on both perspectives.
Mm-hmm. So what do you hope moms can hear through your story, or what advice do you have for them to share?
I definitely think the biggest thing I try to encourage and inspire is that there is hope. Even when you feel like you're failing, even when you feel like you'll never have what you're really hoping for, even when you just feel like you can't possibly do this another day or no one can possibly understand, that there is hope. You know, there is light. There's also those moments when you feel like, you know what, like I rocked this mom thing today. Or like, you know, this is the month I'm going to get that positive, or, you know, like there is that hope. And, I think if we have hope, even hope doesn't mean that we're not sad. Hope doesn't mean that we aren't grieving. Hope doesn't mean that we're always going to be perfect. It really just means that we're holding on to the good, you know? And I think as we kind of shift our mindset to, and I'm not trying to belittle grief at all, because that is its own process and its own beast, and definitely those emotions, 100% valid. But I think, you know, with that perspective of hope, I think it just makes life a little bit easier. You know, it won't take away the struggle, but as we keep looking for those good moments, I think we'll see them a little bit more. So that's definitely something I try to do in my life. I'm not perfect, but
Yeah, that's beautiful. And the last question I love to ask every guest is, how are you the mom that your daughters need?
I think I am the mom my daughters need because I love the heck out of them. But also I really try to make them the focus of my life. And even when I'm anxious to get back to work, have a cuddle with them at night. Mom, can you snuggle me? Okay. Even though I'm not necessarily in the mood, you know, and let's go play, let's go to grandma's house, even though I don't feel like going, or, you know, I think those little sacrifices that I make every day for them and just trying to let them know they're loved. And like right now they're with the nanny, but when I get off, I'm going to make sure that I tell them how much I love them. And I just try to, I think that's the biggest thing, is that I just try to let them know that they're loved.
Yeah, which is enough. That is 100% what they need. Yes.
Yeah.
So how can moms connect with you after this episode?
So I primarily hang out on Instagram. So my Instagram is Kiara _B_art. Or my website is just my name, KiaraButcher.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they can't wait to check out the art that we were raving about because it's so gorgeous. They've experienced loss. It's one small way that they can have a beautiful reminder of a whole family picture portrait, and hopefully they can discover a way through art and journaling that allows them to find healing in the same way that it did for you. Thank you so much for your time today and for your vulnerability and sharing just all of that openness about what your motherhood has looked like for you. We're so grateful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
Ugh, she's so sweet. I hope you heard exactly what you needed to hear today. If you haven't yet, go check out Kiara's art. And always remember, you are the mom your kids need. Next episode, we'll hear from a life coach sharing how she's gone from 24-hour stress-induced seizures to learning how to befriend her anxiety. I hope every single episode serves you, supports you, and encourages you. If you're loving the podcast, leave a review, tell a friend, and support the show. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. I believe in you, and I'm cheering you on.